You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. Good afternoon. This is Dori with Every Voice Matters, and I'm really excited for my guest today. Actually, personal friends, Jamie and Darby Malone. And they are in retirement, sort of, but they are working on building their house from the ground up themselves. Good morning. Hi, or afternoon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning in California. So, Darby, you're a 40-year veteran of the HVAC industry?
HVAC industry.
HVAC.
Yep.
And Jamie, you worked in the tech industry for about 20 years.
I did. Yep.
And then about 6 years ago, the two of you found each other.
We did. And now we've embarked on this crazy little ride here.
Right. And you've done some road trips and bike trips and other things together. I know you're both very outdoorsy, active people, so it makes sense that you would find your roots there in Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Yep, it's a ski town. We both knew of the area, and I had been visiting for vacations for a long time, 20 plus years. And so on one of our early trips, we came here for a bike ride. We love it. Yep. One of our early dates, there was a mention of, hey, I think I'd like to retire there. Me too. So.
Oh, well.
We had in common right away.
Yeah.
And the goal just kind of transformed itself, and had a lot of same interests in the area, and be a great thing.
It did.
So, Jamie, where did you originally come from?
I was born in Wisconsin, so I'm a Midwester, but I've lived all over the country, California, Arizona, and here. We moved here when I was my grandfather away, and so we came to be with my grandmother.
Okay. And Darby, where are you originally from?
I'm a Wisconsinite as well. I was born in Wisconsin. And then grew up in the kind of Chicago area in general. And then in 84, I decided to move out to Colorado and needed a little adventure in my life. And
you found it.
Yeah, that's an amazing story to me, because I cannot in a million years imagine putting everything I own into a truck and going somewhere without really any plans. And that's what he did.
Yeah, it's kind of what I did when I moved out here.
Drove
out in my car. Said here.
That's a lot of courage.
And what are some of the outdoor activities that the two of you love doing together?
So we're cyclists. We enjoy hiking and skiing in the wintertime, and snowshoeing. We kind of do it all.
We do. Yep.
Well, we've got some great questions here from our listeners who are very intrigued about what you're doing. So you both retired, and then you decided, oh, we should build a house.
Yeah, it kind of happened that kind of the stars aligned. We bought this property in 2017. So we date, it was yesterday, 2017. So we came out and we closed on it. And then it took us a little while to get our heads around building. And we weren't really going to retire quite that soon. But kind of things just fell into place. And we decided, well, what the heck, you know? So
no
here we are.
Like the present.
Right. As it turns out, it's a good thing. Because construction prices for lumber and concrete and labor have gone up tremendously in the last couple of years. So we've been, we broke ground in August of 2019. And we are right now approaching our four-way rough installation inspection, installing wiring and plumbing and those kinds of things.
Well, that kind of answers Linda's question. She's in Boulder, and she actually says, you know, how long is this project taken from start to finish? And, of course,
I think it's going to be 2 years before.
Okay.
And we have a very short building season up here, and if you don't get the roof on it, you have to basically shut the project down.
The weather.
That's what happened to us the first year is we had the excavation done, and we started building the walls on the lower level, and then we had a freak early season snow in October, and it just shut us down. Everything was too muddy, and it stayed cold, and it snowed for a month.
Right.
And we couldn't get anything done, so we just basically shut the project down until April of following
last
year.
Yeah.
So Todd in Nebraska, you know, is asking, are you using any energy saving features?
Yeah, so this is a passive solar design. We have a beautiful lot with a south-facing view, and it's perfect for a solar house design. So, and that's what we really wanted. We wanted something sustainable, energy efficient. So the house is super insulated. It's got triple pane windows. It's R30 insulation in the walls and R60 in the ceilings. So it's passive solar with a large expanse of glass on the south side. So
it is also off grid. So we'll be functioning on solar power, a propane for our hot water heat, and gas range and dryer.
And then the rest should be electric powered by solar. And our house is built, basically, we're building it in an aspen forest. So all the trees that were cut down during construction, they're piled on site, and we're cutting those up, and that's going to be firewood. We have a high-efficiency wood stove. And so that'll provide us years of heat right there.
And lots of exercise, too.
Lots of exercise.
Nothing like cutting up 50 trees.
Really, was it 50 trees?
Probably. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
It was shocking to me, I guess, because still working. And Darby was up here supervising excavation and the foundation. And I came up and I'm like, wow, you guys knocked down almost every tree.
When you come up to visit, you'll see our pile of.
Yes, I'm looking forward. So I'm going to be up there on May 1st, driving up on May 1st to come see this beautiful home that they've been building. I've been seeing pictures over the year and a half, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be great to see it in person.
Yeah.
So Rachel and Aurora asked, did anything end up being much more than you anticipated? I think you talked about, you know, just lumber and pricing things that had increased and much more than what you had originally costed out.
Right. Yes. Yep. Well, since we started building, there was, between our pouring foundation and last year filling our walls, because we built with these do-it-yourselfer ICF blocks, kind of, where you stack them. They're composite concrete and wood, like recycled pallets, and they have a pocket in them. So you dry stack them, and then after you get to a certain height, you fill them with concrete. So the concrete cost between those 2 years was probably 25% more.
At least.
Wow. Significant.
And we have a lot of concrete in this.
Yeah.
A lot of concrete. Yeah.
And then the lumber prices in the last year, because of COVID and everybody, their home remodel projects and stuff, the prices have gone up over 200% right now, they're
correct.
Saying.
Right.
So
that was kind of like the next question from Melinda in Texas was, you know, did COVID impact your project in any way?
Yeah.
Cost-wise
and labor-wise, trying to find subcontractors, they're harder to find just because of, you know, COVID as well. Right. So we ended up doing more than what we thought.
Yourselves? Doing more yourselves?
Yeah, we had to keep the project going. And when we find somebody, we just kept on grinding it out.
This has been, also it's taken much longer. I mean, I don't know if I was drinking the Kool-Aid or what the deal we were going to be.
Pollyanna here.
Or margaritas or what else I was drinking. But I thought we were going to be done in about a year.
Okay.
And so we're really going to be hitting double that, I think, between the short building season and, you know, only so far two people's labor can take you every day.
And one thing you really have to look at, too, it's not just the labor for building the house, but where we're staying, we had to move snow. Then we'd go up to the house site and we'd have a foot of snow.
We'd have to move snow there.
So we had to get the tractor out and we'd be moving snow for a couple hours there before we can get our workday started. So that really took more time than what we figured. Or I guess that probably wasn't really figured into the equation.
Right. Yep. Yep.
All those little things.
Yeah.
All the things you don't
think about.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is just something this scope is so large, and you just can't possibly think of every contingency or everything that's going to arise that might present a challenge for you. But yeah, it is there. There's a lot of, oh, I had no idea.
that. And the house design that we picked is not a simple design. It's got very complex roof lines and it's hard to say how much time that really added to the project, whether, you know, other than if it was just a simple rectangle to build.
Right. Yep.
So Rick in California says, are you doing your own electrical and plumbing, and how did you learn how to do that?
Yeah. School of Hard Knocks, and a lot of YouTube videos.
Ah, okay.
We did hire a plumber to help us with the rough in underneath the basement so that all of that was sloped properly and everything. And then we hired that same plumber to help us with venting and drain upstairs, because it is just this behemoth thing, you know, drilling these huge holes in 2x4s to run venting and drain.
And it's a manpower issue.
And,
so
yeah,
periodically we've hired some subcontractors to help us out like that. And some of the framing, we've done that as well. Right. We just didn't have the manpower between Jamie and I. And so periodically we brought some other help in, but probably 80% of the work on the project we've done ourselves so far.
Right.
So there are YouTube videos from others who've taken this journey that you're
there are lots of people who chronicle their house building stuff. We actually talked to the Off the Grid TV show producers when we first did this.
Yeah, our architect actually turned us on with them, and they called and they wanted to do a show with us.
We thought it might not be fit for television. That we would be teaching people new words, maybe. And just the amount of overhead that creates, you know, oh, I didn't get that. Let me film it again.
Oh, another
slowing the project down even more.
Yeah, and we weren't sure we had the patience to either document that ourselves or have someone else document trying to build. So
that's what Carolyn kind of asked. And Darby, you mentioned this, you know, did you need to contract out for anything? So there were things.
Yeah, we had somebody do the excavation and all the groundwork and to dig the foundation. We contracted out concrete work, so a crew came with a truck and a pumper to do the foundation and fill the walls.
Yeah, fill the block and everything.
And then we hired the plumber, as we said, for both the rough-in basement work and the rough-in drain and vent. And then at the end of the fall, so the end of the year, we were getting really tight with weather, and we didn't have a roof on yet. So we hired a crew to help us frame the roof and sheet the roof.
Yeah, we set all the trusses in place. And then, say we were approaching mid-November.
Right.
And
it was starting to snow, right?
Yeah, luckily we didn't get any big snows up to that point, or that could have been catastrophic.
Right.
But we hired a local contractor. He just had some people available, and they helped us for a few weeks to put the sheathing on the roof and get it dried in.
Right. They also helped us with these humongous windows we have because...
Yeah, those triple pane windows weigh...
Super heavy.
300 pounds a piece.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they're...
And it's two stories, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's a walkout ramp.
Windows up there.
Right. So they had to put scaffolding on the back, lift them in place.
And a lot of manpower. A
lot of manpower.
Wow. Okay. Is that something that you had thought about previously or had not thought about that?
I think we knew that we're going to need help putting those in. So Darby and I did all the frames around it so that, and weatherproofing you have to put around it. But we knew we would need help with the windows because they were just so, the doors were so heavy. And I'm a pretty strong woman, but not that strong.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense.
Probably weighs over 300 pounds.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
And it's really a single
tall
door.
And awkward. Yeah.
It's a single door, but it's an 8-foot door and it's, 42 inches wide.
Right.
And it's just the triple pane glass is the heavy part. So
Monica here in Broomfield wants to know, did you look at anybody else who had done this project before and view their experience before you decided to do it yourself?
We watch stuff on YouTube, really. There's a couple of shows that we follow.
Yeah.
And they're, chronicling their own builds. And we learned a lot from that and just seeing the hardships that they went through and stuff.
It didn't deter you, evidently.
It didn't deter us.
You weren't that smart.
True. I think sometimes there's a good balance there between scaring yourself off from things like this and being well informed. And there is a really, interesting balance there, right? Because if we had known, we were talking with our financial guy, a month or so ago, and he said, if you knew it was going to cost this much when you started, would you have built? And Darby said, no, it probably would have scared us off.
Oh.
So it has been a lot more than we thought. But now we're pretty much at the point where we're in too deep and we just need to get it done.
Right.
So, it's good.
So Alan in California asked, do you still have to have inspections throughout the construction?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a homeowner can pull their own permit just like a general contractor. Well, a general contractor would pull the permit for the house and then each subcontractor would pull their permit for plumbing, electrical and stuff. As a homeowner, you can pull your own permits for everything, but you still have to go through the same inspection process as the contractors.
So somebody still comes out and inspects the work and makes sure that
the county.
Yep.
Yeah.
Up to code and.
Right. And then they tell you if you have to fix things and that kind of thing.
Now, there's certain areas in the country that in remote areas, you don't have the inspections like we do. But here, all inspections are required.
Yeah. That would be a little scary.
It's kind of intimidating.
It is. It has been interesting, though, because the building system we used is not very widely used here. In fact, we're probably the first one in the county. So every time an inspector would come out, he'd be like, wow, this stuff is really cool. I've never seen it before.
What is it? I really had to show them what they were inspecting.
Oh, wow.
Today, you're going to be making sure we did this correctly.
And what we did and show them on the prints that we installed it, per print. And, then they looked it over.
You're right. Yeah,
they thought it was pretty cool, though, because
I bet
all they see is standard building practices. And it was kind of neat for them to see something that's a little different.
So what is it that's different from the other homes, around you or that they haven't seen before?
Well, typical houses, most houses that are built are all frame construction with wood studs in the walls and, plywood sheathing or, on the outside. And this is a block construction. It's it looks kind of like a standard cinder block, but it's made out of Portland cement and wood chips. And then it has insulation inside the block as well. And so you dry stack these. You don't put mortar in between all the joints. It's just dry stacked, and then you fill them up with concrete. And so the walls are full of concrete and rebar. I mean, it's a very stout house, though.
Right. Yeah. So very energy efficient. It's super insulated. There'll be there's insulation inside the block. There'll be insulation on the outside of the house before we install siding. So it'll perform well, I hope.
Yep. It will.
Yeah. Darby's confident. That's good.
You're gonna stay nice and warm.
Right. Yep.
So Kimberly in Idaho asked, have you had any accidents while building?
We have. during framing, let's see, I was trying to maneuver a wall and the wall fell off of our, we were trying to lift it with a tractor and I had a hold of it. It took me down to the ground and smashed. I only had one emergency room visit and that was it.
And then
Darby's lost a bunch of skin off of his head.
Bumped my head a few
times. You're not wearing hard hats out there?
No hard hats. Probably.
Just the built in one right here.
And then he actually, when we were hanging trusses, that was really this frantic almost day. Because we had a crane there. So I was helping hook up the truss and then we'd fly it over the top of the building, Darby inside of the house. And a friend of ours was on the other side and they'd both nail it in. And by the time they got done nailing it in, the next truss was coming. And he drove a nail through his finger with the nail gun.
So my fingerprints are, I've signed every truss with my bloody fingerprint.
Right. Yeah.
Because I didn't stop. We just kept on going.
And right.
It just caught the very tip of it, and it wasn't anything serious. But
considering all of the very physical work we've done over the last 2 years, that's a minor amount of, you know.
Really? I mean, considering you're building this house, it's pretty insignificant as far as not having any major injuries. But I know, Jamie, you had a knee injury, not caused by the the house, but how did that
skiing skiing last year. So I was like 4 days off of retirement and we're like, yes, we're gonna ski all winter. 4 days in, whammo. So Darby skied all winter, but I did not. And that, it was creaky. I think it's finally just getting back to the point where, it feels like the other knee. There are days when it's more stiff and, we kind of laugh because that happened right before COVID. So about the time when I was to the point where I could start physical therapy, they were shutting all that stuff down. It was rehabbed by construction. That's what we call it. Because up and down a ladder all day and standing on it and walking, you know, it's not the traditional physical therapy, but it seems
it to work.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Still some creakiness, but that might be due to my age and our daily activity.
Mm-hmm. Beth in California wants to know, you know, what delays have you had that were unexpected? I think part of it was you were talking about the weather and maybe hadn't taken into account how, because it does tend to snow a lot in Steamboat Springs. So when you were planning and thinking and putting all this together, did weather not enter into your thought about what possibly could happen or how that could be a delay? And were there other things that delayed you?
Well, the weather was the biggest thing that put us down for what, six months or so.
Yeah. I think part of it is we just didn't anticipate it would move so slowly. Really.
Yeah. We are hoping to have the roof on at least, you know,
the first year,
but everything just took longer. The excavation, the house is on caissons. So, we had some water mitigation on the property we had to take care of before we were able to drill the caissons.
Yeah, so that
for
delayed
the foundation.
Us for weeks,
so
really.
There were several things. It was slow getting going.
And then the middle of October, we had 2 feet of snow.
Yeah.
So because we had done all this dirt work, it was just this mud pit. We couldn't even get into the property to do anything. The mud would just
suck your boots right off. So
we
basically snowshoed in after a while, but it was just to kind of check on things.
Right.
We weren't able to do anything at that point.
And then in March last year, we started snowshoeing in to shovel. There was 4 feet of snow inside our foundation. And in order to start back up, we had to get that out. So it took us several weeks to do that. And we started kind of building in late April.
Yeah.
And again, it was muddy until mid-May. We have these waders and they would just literally suck your boots right off. You'd be walking and your boot would be back there. Oh, wait.
Well, they call that mud season up there, right?
That's right. Yep. Exactly, right.
The smart people go to warmer places.
That's what I've heard.
Didn't you see that on some blog?
Yes, that I was
during this time of year
researching for you doing the show. There were some people in Steamboat. They're not building their own home, but they have a blog, and they say that during mud season they actually take off and travel. And this year they were, you know, hoping to go to Hawaii, but they usually go someplace warm, the Bahamas or Costa Rica or Mexico, and. Yeah.
Right.
Really. Yes, that'd be nice.
We hope to do that someday too. But yeah. So, and I think for us, just the lack of manpower has taken us a lot longer. I think if we hired an electrician to come in and run rough wiring, they'd probably knock it out in a couple of days. I'm now on day 4, and I have part of the upstairs done. So it just takes longer when you're not skilled at it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, though. How skilled are you, though? Look at what you're doing. I mean, I'm continuously amazed. You know, I have a hard time just putting a doorknob on my door.
Right.
Altogether, we've remodeled two houses just in the time that we've been together.
Yeah.
And then both of us have done a lot of home renovations in the past, you know, before we met.
Right.
We've got some good basic skills. And then, you know, with the trade that I was in, know a lot about electrical and just kind of general, you know, building systems. So,
I think the other thing is that we're both very curious people. So there's this.
So you want to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. This constant quest for, well, you know, this can't be that hard. Let's figure it out. And that's really, kind of what we've taken on as our shield or our cape or whatever you want to call it. Because a lot of this stuff is, it's intimidating on the surface, just the scope of it and, you know, the amount of stuff, but really running wire is not too bad. You start at this point and you go to this point and you know, I need to get down the wall for these outlets and that kind of thing. And so it's very kind of linear and logical once you kind of wrap your head around it.
Well, Suzanne in Denver wants to know, have you worked every single day?
We were off for 6 months while we were waiting for the weather to clear last year.
Yeah.
During the summer months, we were working 7 days a week, and that really got to be a little too much.
We almost had to, though, because we had a subcontractor for concrete scheduled out, you know, 3 weeks or whatever. And it took that long. So we had to have all our stuff ready for that subcontractor. And you just had to work like crazy to get it done.
Yeah.
Other words, you know, they'd say, okay, well, you didn't, you know, reach this time slot. We're bumping me back 3 weeks. And so you're sitting around a lot. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for mental health reasons, we try to take one day a week off. And we tried to do something fun that day, whether that's a hike or a bike ride. Or
watching YouTube videos.
Sometimes, yes.
Sometimes that's what happens, you know. We did find that, you know, we're huge cyclists. And before we started this project, we used to ride on the weekends a lot and don't have the energy for that right now. So on our day off, you know.
Well, if we could take 2 days off, then, you know, you'd still have a day of recovery.
Yeah.
But you work for 6 days a week and then you go do something strenuous like a long hike.
You're tired.
You're tired. Yeah. Yeah. So, but we're looking forward to when it's done, we can do that stuff again. So
of course.
Good.
Well, that's part of your retirement plan, right?
It is. Yep. To plan our retirement by the weather. That's our goal.
So Kelly in Nevada asks, how do you feel about the home now compared to when you started?
It is an amazing place and we laugh about this because we found this piece of land just driving around and we pulled the little flyer and we get out in the drive, which was just, you know, 6 feet of rough in. And I'm standing there looking at the Continental Divide and Darby's looking at the piece of paper and he goes, wow, this is kind of a weird shaped lot. And I, yeah, but look at the view. So we have a weird shaped lot with an incredible view of the Continental Divide. Yep. And it is amazing. It's going to be a solid, lovely home.
And the house too is just, it's a great design. It's just super efficient. There's no hallways where you've lost a lot of space or anything. Yeah. But,
it's open space.
It is open.
The architect did a great job of designing that. It's going to be beautiful. Let's say though, it's a little more complex than your first build should be.
Right. Yeah. We heard something recently, you should build three houses. The first one for your enemy, the second one for your friend, and the third one for yourself.
Oh, okay.
We're not going to get to the second or third one. The mistakes that we've made here, we will live with. Because it is just...
This is it, huh?
This is it.
You want to give out your phone number so people can call you and have you come help them build their home?
I mean, we might be available for consulting. Yeah. It has been hard.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, harder than we thought.
Yes.
Yeah. So Ron in California actually asked, how did you come up with your house plan? So was this, you hired somebody to help you design the plan that you wanted?
Yeah, so we had an interest in earth ships. When Jamie and I first met,
right.
You know, we both knew something about them, which was kind of cool because most people don't know anything about them. And then Jamie actually booked us a trip down to New Mexico, I'm sorry, and visited the community down there. And it's a great concept, but it's not in the most attractive package as what the house is. And so we kind of came up with this and thought, well, we could do something with a lot of the same principles, but in a nicer looking, you know, package. And that's when we hired we came up with the design ourselves. We found this and said, okay, we wanted, you know, this amount of bedrooms and the windows facing this way. And we kind of had a little sketch on a napkin, basically.
Right.
And, you know, and it had similar square footage and all the rooms and bathrooms and everything that we had now, but the architect put it in a really pretty package.
Mm. Really, yeah, he made it super efficient, just space wise. And we couldn't figure out how to do the stairs without being kind of awkward.
Well, we didn't know exactly how the house was going to be oriented too, so it was kind of hard to say where the front of the house is going to be. Is this the front or is this the side? We just didn't know that, you know, amount.
Way up with all those things.
Yeah.
All those details.
Yeah.
So he came out and visited the site and we showed him what we had and came up with a great design. And it really ended up being about the same size of house and a lot of the same concepts. He just made it a more efficient package.
Yeah. And it's going to be beautiful. You know, it is just very beautiful in its simplicity and, it fits us really well, you know, just lots of common space and openness for gathering. And that's kind of cool.
Well, you'll have to send like a before and after picture or a couple of pictures and I'll I'll post it, you know, on the page, you know, with your interview today, so people can see at least some of what it took to get to where you're.
Yeah.
I think that would be great for them to do that. You know, Ron in California, or Tom in California asked, you know, how did you decide on location? And I think you both said you were drawn to Steamboat Springs.
Yep. For the outdoor activities.
Mm-hmm. And so you'll be living in an area where all of those things are available to you.
Right. Yep. Skiing, world-class skiing, and tons of, we live very near the Mount Zirkle Wilderness. Yep. And so that is thousands of acres of open space that you can hike around, or
we've got several lakes that are within just a couple of miles. So I mean, there's just about everything up there.
Yep.
So Paul in Boulder asked, you know, how did you find the land? And I think you said you were up there driving around.
Yeah, every time we came up skiing or cycling, we'd usually drive up, then we'd have a couple hours before we had to check in or go to a hotel or whatever.
Right.
So we basically drove around, looked at property. We weren't really serious.
It took us a year to buy this land. Yeah. We talked to the, we loved it. And there was some career instability for me. I worked for a tech company and it looked like there were going to be layoffs. And so we kind of delayed putting a offer in. And how it ended up is that she called us and we had met with her several times and we'd done.
The realtor?
Yeah.
Yeah. The realtor who was the listing realtor. And we'd met with her and said, okay, if we build this kind of house, how much can we expect it to be worth? We kind of did our own comparable.
Right.
You know, before we even bought the land. And so we're like, okay, well, this is feasible. We can do this. And then she called one day and said, Jamie, someone put an offer on your lot.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So we bought the lot.
Yes, bought it. Said, okay, we're in, huh?
Yeah, I called Darby and I said, well, it's go or...
It's now or we lose it.
Yep, now or never. Yep. So...
And we wanted a passive solar design. We needed a south-facing, exposure. And we looked at a bunch of different properties, and there was very few that would have worked, you know, for this, mm-hmm. that application. So it's not like there was just a bunch of others for second choices. So we bit the bullet and did it.
We did. Yep. So it took us over a year to buy it and 2 years to build once we bought it.
Okay. Sadie in Colorado Springs is asking, you know, how does warranty work with, you know, all the appliances since you're putting them in yourselves?
Yeah, same as it does, you know, because it's same as it does for a house in a development. I mean, we're basically building a modern house with modern conveniences, and we bought our appliances at a big box store and we bought a warranty on all of them because we live so far out that to get someone even dispatched to our location is astronomical. So it pays for the warranty. If we have one service call, it will pay for the warranty in time, time and materials. Yeah.
Okay. And Helen in Denver says, you know, how have you been documenting this journey for yourselves?
Yeah. We take a lot of pictures. And so eventually we may have a coffee table book once we're done hammering and nailing and stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people choose to do like a YouTube channel or something like that. We just don't have the patience or the skill for that, or really the energy.
The time. It's more of the time. We can probably figure it out and stuff. But then, you know, we've watched several different YouTube videos where people are building their own house and they talk about the time commitment that it takes to
document all that.
Full-time job to do that. And,
it's almost like you need to hire somebody else to just be filming. Sarah in Oregon says, you know, how did you think about doing this before getting started? I think you talked a little bit about that this kind of was your dream and you know, you wanted to do it and you had a focus and you know, it fell into place.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you talk about patience as well. You know, Tony in Texas says, how much patience has this taken?
A lot.
More than.
Yeah.
More
a
than
lot.
We know.
Yeah. It has been an interesting process for us individually, I think, and as a couple. Because although we think a lot alike, we work differently. So, you know, I was a project manager, so I'm very, you know, and this just isn't like that.
It doesn't just fall into place.
Yeah, it doesn't just happen, you know, and so, you know, it is interesting. We have learned each other's strengths and each other's weaknesses. It often takes a lot of patience and grace with each other. Because at the end of the day, we're spending 24 hours a day together. We go to work together. We're in the car together, back and forth. When we come home, we live in a small rental. And the only other, you know, mammal around is our dog, who's crazy, crazy. she's in the kennel. We've got her kenneled up so she doesn't disrupt our broadcast. yeah. So, you know, we spent a lot of time together. And so that requires that you have a lot of grace with each other because.
We still haven't had our first fight. Let's put it that way.
We haven't.
Wow.
Yeah, we do pretty well. Yeah, we do pretty well.
I would say so. So Nina in Frisco says, you know, is the cost what you thought when you started? And I think you said it's become more expensive.
It's really.
It's nowhere
almost
near.
50% more.
Wow.
Well, 50%. Yeah. We had originally budgeted this number and it's blown way past that. I mean, we didn't even have a roof on and we were past that. So, you know,
and that's because of the additional cost of things now. I mean, COVID did, like you said, everybody started doing home projects. I did a little bathroom project and my contractor was amazed at how much lumber, just simple pieces of lumber were.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
2 years
before we started this, I think you could get a stud for under $3.
Yeah. It's like $2.50 at Home Depot, and now they're like $8.
$10. Yeah. We just $10 for a stud not too long ago. So, yeah, it is crazy.
And then we're in a remote location too, so we don't have Home Depots, you know, three Home Depots within 15 minutes our location. So that's really been difficult. There's several lumber yards in town that we can use. They're more expensive.
Yeah.
But we end up going when we go down to visit the kids or appointments, or whatever in Denver. I mean, we bring the trailer and the truck and load up as much stuff as we can from the front range as well.
And sometimes our day off is spent driving to, well, last week it was 2 hours to Silverthorne, which is, you know, a town in the mountains. For Lowe's, and then they didn't have everything we needed, so it was another hour and change to Home Depot, which is an Avon, and then 2 hours back home. Mm. So, you know, it ends up being a day. There was our day, to get supplies. Yep. So,
Connie in Florida says, you know, were there any soil concerns after you started building? Did anything shift because of all the amount of snow? I thought that was funny. Someone from Florida would.
Right. Sounds like they visited the mountains or something before. So,
right. Yeah.
The house is, we did a soil sample before the house was started. And they said you could put it on a conventional foundation, but we would recommend putting the house on caissons, which are basically it's a concrete pillar that's a foot in diameter and 25 feet long, and the house is on 42 of those.
Wow!
So it's really solid. It's not going anywhere, but
it's not going to shift.
Yeah, it's on a slope, and there's a lot of mountain above us, and it's in an aspen forest, so there's a lot of springs. So there's
very wet.
Yeah, we had to mitigate. The spring, because the spring basically ran right underneath where our house was. Mm. And just to dry it out enough to be able to drill the caissons, we had to mitigate that with a French drain And we had to do that twice.
Right.
Two different locations to keep the water, you know, away from the house.
Yeah. At one point last spring or early summer, our huge concrete water tanks floated up out of the ground.
An 11,000 pound concrete cistern floated.
Yeah. Boat. So we had to move those. I mean, the thing, you know, we're so grateful that we have the ability to kind of ride these storms, both financially and emotionally, I guess, because it has felt a lot like, oh gosh, you know,
that wasn't in the plan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we had to move the cisterns, we had to put in another French drain, and we still have to figure out the water for our property because we have all this, you know, underground water that's moving through, but now we've put these huge drains in. We got to figure out how we utilize that.
Yeah, and we're not using a conventional well. We have, because of the springs on the property, we're going to try to use the spring water. And then the way the house is designed, we've got a big shed roof on one side of the house, and we're going to catch rain and snow off the roof. Oh,
okay.
Piped over to the cistern, so that'll fill the cisterns as well.
Yep.
So Michael in Arizona says, you know, what are the pros and cons for someone thinking about doing this?
Mm.
You have to have the time and the patience to do that is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You got to have a supportive spouse. You really have to be thinking along the same lines, because if you're not, then you're going to be hiring everything out.
Yeah. And you have to plan for, you know, we heard contingency,
yeah.
Financial contingency. I would say it should be upwards of that, because that didn't even put a dent in how much we're over budget.
Yeah.
And Brian in Florida says, you know, what did your family and friends think when you told them that this was an idea that you had?
Yeah, they pretty much thought we were nuts.
Yeah. they still do, I think.
I think so, yeah.
But they actually see the progress and they're quite impressed. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll have to weigh in on that, Dory, after you come up.
I will. I'm in admiration of you doing this. So as you know, getting ready to wrap things up here, Georgia Telluride says, you know, what's the most important thing that you've learned so far in doing this?
Go ahead, Dar.
You know, what have you learned individually? What have you learned as a couple?
Right.
Well, that's a tough one there.
Yeah.
We learned that you just have to kind of take things in stride, really, because daily something doesn't go as expected. And you just have to kind of roll with the punches, and you always kind of have to have an option of plan B. You can't be so focused on this one task. You have to have, you know, be working on multiple tasks at the same time. And right. if you ran out of material for this one thing, you got to be able to shift gears and just start working on something else. It's patience. I just really have to have a lot of patience for it.
Right. And each other. I think there's a lot of stuff you can figure out if you just have patience and sink some time into research. And I think you have to have a lot of grace with yourself, you know, that we're doing the best we can with what we have at the time. And you also have to learn when you're not capable of something. This one day comes to mind when we were trying to put in these huge, like 10-foot long angle iron to help support the roof in our mechanical room, which was going to be poured concrete. And we're standing up on the top of a scaffolding, which is wobbling. And I'm not a huge fan of heights. And I'm trying to hold this beam up while Darby is drilling a hole on the other side into the concrete to anchor it. And I finally just said, I can't do this. We have to figure out some way to hold this with a strap or something so that I'm not holding 100 pounds in this very precarious position. So I think some of it is being able to step outside your comfort zone, and some of it is understanding what actually is a hard
what's your limit.
Where this is not me.
Well, I'm so glad that you both got to be here today and to share, and I'm really excited to be up there and be able to see for myself everything that you've done.
We can't wait.
And I'll look for some pictures too that we can post to your page on the site so people can get an idea of what the journey's been like. And you know, my guest next week, maybe this is fitting, but it's actually a chiropractor.
Does he live up here?
Joel Lindman, he does chiropractic care here in Broomfield. And there are many different ways of doing chiropractic work. And he's going to share how it is that he came into chiropractic work and talk about some of the ways that he does that. So I'm excited to share that. And each week I share a saying. And for this week, it's the goal of the hero's journey is yourself, is finding yourself. That is the goal of your journey. And you two certainly are on that journey. And I'm sure that you are finding out a lot about yourselves. So thank you for being here. Thank you, everyone, for joining in this week. And I will look forward to seeing you next Thursday.
Yep.
Bye, everyone.
So fun.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Thank you.
You're listening to Every Voice Matters with Dori Francis, only on LA Talk Radio.